B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slammed up.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Good morning, everybody. Happy, 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 happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley. I need your help today. Right to it. Right to business. Yep, Eagles got Jason Peters, and we'll talk about Jason Peters coming back. I thought, listen, it was necessary, right? The fact that you got no Brandon Brooks, that you had to bring him back. So we'll discuss that, but that's not what is on my mind this morning. I need help this morning. I really, really need you guys to talk me off, because all I hear is everybody's in love with taking the ball out of Ben Simmons' hands, and I hate it. I don't like it, and I need you guys to tell me how this thing's going to work, all right? You got to tell me how Simmons playing the dunker spot, how that works. Like, because I've heard he's Draymond Green, and I go, well, he can't shoot, so he's not Draymond Green. Because Draymond Green will shoot a three and space the floor. How does that work with Embiid? How does Simmons at the four without the ball in his hands, how does that not push Embiid up top? When I want Embiid down low, you guys got to help me out here. I hear everybody gushing over this move, and listen, you know, I mean, I think Shake is promising too. I go, that's good. However, I still think my lineup and the way I want to go play bully ball is better than this. And my lineup is Shake coming off the bench with Horford, giving me real offense off the bench. And I don't have to play Korkmaz. And I got Thybulle starting, and I got two really good defensive players up top. And then I'll have the ball in Simmons' hands, and I can play post up. But if you sag on him, that's when he has to attack. He attacks the defender, because there's space to move forward. And then you got Richardson. If you want to move, and listen, there are times I feel you. At times, Ben should come off the ball at times during the course of the game. But this move screams of desperation. It screams of desperation. It screams of, well, you know what we're going to do, Rock. We're going to make you fight right handed. We're not going to have you be a southpaw. I don't get it. I don't, other than a few times during the course of the game where you're going to have him really be off the ball and in the dunker spot and post up, because he's a good post up player. I completely agree. He's a post up guy. So I want to take advantage of that, but I'm not taking the ball out of his hands entirely in a set offense. So, all right, I get there'll be some movement because he's an energizer and can move. All right, well, you know, again, I like that at times, but the great players have the ball in his hands. He's the kid has to be able to shoot the friggin' basketball. He's got to be able to have the ball in his hands, and if they sag on him, just hit a free throw line extended mid-range shot, 12-footer. I'm not asking him to be Harden. You don't need to be a combo one to play point guard in the NBA. Or everybody wants to play the same way. Ball dominant one who shoots constantly. Well, what happened to the point guard? Let him facilitate. You got plenty of offense around him. You got Embiid. You got Jay Rich. You got Harris. Harris is better at the four than he is the three. So how now, how do you clog up? Because to me, what you're going to have is you're going to have Simmons clog things up. Really, for Embiid. And I want Embiid down low. Embiid is a beast. Embiid's the one who's unstoppable. And everybody falls in love with Shake. Again, he's a kid. Well, you saw him for 15 games in the regular season. When who was out, it was the dog days of the regular season. And you extrapolate that Shake Milton's going to be your answer in the playoffs? And again, I like the kid. So I'm not telling you he can't play. I'm saying the kid can score, right? We know the kid can score. Why don't you bring him off the bench with Horford? Then he got real firepower off the bench. You start the game off with really good defense, runouts, trying to get breakouts. You got three offensive players around those two. I don't understand it. I don't understand what everybody likes about it. And it makes me even more frustrated because all the great players have to have the ball in their hands. He's got to, you know, and this is where Brett, I mean, I don't know how they come back and this is their answer. How about he comes back and he actually shoots the ball? How about that? How about, you know, yeah, he's a star off the floor. What star? Just dunking the ball? You got to do more than that. You got to break down defenders. How in the world is that better? You got to explain to me how that's better than my starting five, because I don't see it. I don't understand how this whole thing's better. And it kills me because, you know, again, this bully ball fallacy. He never wanted to play bully ball. Brett, and I love the guy. You know I love the guy. I do. I adore him. This guy wants to play Euro ball. You don't have Euro ball players. You don't have that. You don't have. Why are you trying to assimilate with the rest of the NBA? How about you go take advantage of what you got? And that is your length. How about you figure out how to post up? Hey, big man. I'm not saying Embiid never has to come from the post. Like, I like him in the high post, too. He's got good touch. I got no problem with that. But there has to be some semblance of Embiid down low. Because he's a more unstoppable force down low. And let's go back to Simmons, right? Who is Ben Simmons? So here's what we know. He's a freakish athlete who's got incredible court vision. The best thing he does on the floor is facilitate. The best thing he does is facilitate. So now you take that away from him. What's he going to do other than post up? And you'll have your ball movement at times. Okay. He's got to be able to have the ball in his hands. Giannis has the ball in his hands. LeBron has the ball in his hands. Those big forces that the offense runs through, they got to have the ball. He's got to have the ball in his hands. And he's got to shoot. He's got to be able to take a mid-range game. Like, enough of this BS. Shoot the damn ball. Like, you want to save your job, Brett? Instead of going with this nonsense, how about you tell the kid, hey, dude, the minute somebody sags, shoot a damn free throw line extended shot. Be aggressive offensively. Attack the rim. He was starting to attack the rim. I'm frustrated. And I'm frustrated of a number of things. I'm frustrated, A, because I don't see what everybody else sees. Listen, you guys could all be right. And it could work out. I can't get there. Jimmy Lynam, he loves it. Legs, I talk to Legs. He's my guru. He likes it. I don't understand it. I don't know how you're better when the best thing the dude does is facilitate. And now you take that away from him. Explain to me what he does. Explain to me in the playoffs where everything slows down and you got length, right? But you don't want to play your strength. You want to shoot threes. What kind of sense is that? You have a unique squad. Play to your uniqueness. Dominate the boards. Get runouts and break, fast break. And in a set offense, you got three players who should flourish in a set offense with Embiid, Harris, and Richardson. And then you figure out what Horford is. And off the bench, you have Shake and Horford, where I got real offense off the bench. Instead, now, off the bench, I got Matisse and Horford. So where's my balance at? What, Korkmaz? If you guys think Korkmaz is any kind of asset in the playoffs, you guys are kidding yourself. When you defend on every possession in the playoffs, when it comes down to it, what's Korkmaz going to do when there's the actual defenders in his face? Stop. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, Ant. You know what? I was just kind of going to let you go. You seem pretty impassioned about this. And I had I was on with Devon last night, and I had an opinion. And I slept on it, and I heard your opening take. I'm starting to see a lot of cracks in my opinion. And I need to either firm them up or take the wall down.
All right, so let me explain. Tunis is off today, and Tyler Zuli's in. And I love Tyler. Tyler's a great kid and a great sportsman. So let me just preface this whole thing by saying, and I listened to you and Devon for a bit last night. And I heard Devon loves it. And I love Devon, and I respect his opinion. Just like I respect Coach Lynam's and certainly Legs, who's a friend of mine. But Tyler, I heard you guys gushing over it. And I want to hear your opinion. Before you tell me there's cracks in it, let me hear it. Because I'm open-minded to it. I'm just sitting here frustrated because at the 11th hour, this is what he comes up with?
Yeah, no, I understand your concern. I think my biggest asset to this is being the fact that, you know, as we like to say a lot of times, that basketball is positionless at this point. I understand that there is facilitation and point guard play, and, you know, the center is still kind of structurally center. But for me, with it being a positionless game, the fact that you can have a guy match up on the best matchups for him, I think on both sides of the ball, or the best matchups for your team, is what I look at as the biggest factor in this being the move, because I believe that he could take out, you know, a Jason Tatum on the defensive side and still facilitate on the break and be in that dunker spot to play down low when they go into the half court set. Because like you said, there's defense on every possession. I think that he has the ability to battle down low with the fours and fives of the league and have success in doing so.
Yeah, he does, except here's the issue, is that what are you doing with Embiid? So Embiid's never going to go play? Because here's the deal. Embiid, as good as Simmons is, he don't have the touch that Embiid. Embiid's a force down low. And the worst thing you could do is take Embiid. Forget about centers and the whole thing. I'm not giving you 1 through 5. I'm not doing anything like that. I'm just looking at my talent on my team, right? And I look at Embiid and Simmons. Now, there's no problem. I got no problem rotating Simmons down low every once in a while. But to expect him to play the four and he's just down low, you're going to clog up things for Embiid. So Embiid could never go down low because Ben can't stretch the floor. If Ben had shot a three, then it would make more sense to me because, well, I'm spacing the floor. I'm not spacing the floor.
I think that's totally fair, and that's why I am, while I still defend it, I do see, you know, with your opening statement and giving some really good examples, I see cracks in the offensive game plan and in the system in its entirety. So I'm still probably leaning towards, I still am leaning towards the side of defending it, but you okay. You make 100% good points.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I do. But help me see why you're defending it, because again, if you have to answer the question, if Ben can't space the floor, what does that do to Embiid?
Oh, I think it harms his game significantly. But
so why? What are you doing then? Because here's the thing: wouldn't you rather have Simmons just take a 12-foot freaking free throw line extended shot?
Oh yeah, in a perfect world, absolutely.
Well, but
he's not going to do it.
Like, this is the problem. Like, this is Brett, and Brett's got to go. No, shoot the freaking ball. Excuse me, you better have your hand on the dump button, because, Ty, I am livid, because I don't understand it. I don't understand why you now wreck. You're going to change two other guys on your team, right? Ty, listen to me. You're going to change Embiid, and you're going to change Harris, because Harris is better at the four than he is at the three. Right?
Yeah.
So what sense does that make by then having two other important offensive cogs changing their games?
I think the biggest defense for me on that one would be that if you could look at the context of the whole season, the 60-some-odd games that they played before the pause, nothing worked. And they were a six seed for a reason. And I know that...
You know why nothing worked? Because Brett still wanted to play Euro ball. Because Brett spent too much time trying to grow a bomber and have cork mazes and firing up threes. That's why it didn't work.
So my hope, and that's all I can do is hope, is that this is a change for the better. And if it's not, and you're right, and you're correct in that Ben should be just strictly the point guard and have the ball, be ball dominant with it in his hand a majority of the time, then I guess they're probably back to square one as it is. And then do we hope more, I guess?
Dude, why is it this difficult? This is what I don't understand. Why is it this difficult? Why can't you, here's your starting lineup. You got Matisse playing the off ball. And on offense, he's out past the 3-point line, because he could shoot a three. He had tired legs at the end and all, but that's where he is, right? You have Harris, who's going to create, who is a mismatch for fours. You have Embiid down low. And again, not all the time, but he's down low. And on the other side, you got Jay Rich, who can also shoot. And he can shoot mid-range, and he can shoot a three. All right, so here's your space, right? And now you take turns. Like, sometimes Embiid's up top on the high post, and you can have Jay Rich fold in and run the offense, because he can run the offense. We've seen it be successful when he runs the offense. And then you want to exploit a mismatch with Simmons on some possessions down low. And you're almost alternating at times and beat high post, low post. But this way, all you got is Simmons in the low post.
Which means that you're only having Embiid at the elbow and extended.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I totally get your frustrations on that.
I don't understand it. It's driving me nuts, because, like, people that I really respect, and I told you, I think you're a good sportsman, man. You know what you're talking about. People like Devon, who I love, and Legs, and Jimmy Lynam. I don't understand. I don't understand how Brett Brown, who held Ben Simmons as a child, as a baby, how can he not get this kid just to shoot some mid-range stuff? Like, here's the other frustration. I want to freaking hit myself in the head with a bat. There were times this year where I thought he actually showed a lot more aggression going to the rim. Right? Like, you know, when you sagged off him, he attacked. So that, to me, was a step forward in the process. Because here's the other point. Ben Simmons is a good player as a four. He'll never be a top five player unless he's got the ball in his hands. And the more important thing is for him to develop to be a top five player. Otherwise, what is he?
Otherwise, at that point, he's just a big point guard. Or a big guy, I guess, you know?
He's not a point guard because you took the ball out of his hands. So what is he?
A basketball player? I mean, there's no defining traits at that. You know what I mean? Like, there's no defining...
What kind of scorer is he?
A dunker.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, how easy it is to stop that? You're not answering.
I'm processing and trying to continue to defend my point. And like I said, I think there's cracks in it from the beginning.
Yeah, I hear you.
You're making it very, very difficult for me to stay on my side and not swing to your side.
I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm just trying to figure it out. And here's my conclusion. And again, I'll have an open mind because I love the conversation. I love talking straight strategy. I love the strategic element of any game. But and I promise I'll have an open mind. But I'm not seeing it. I'm just not seeing this. Here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a coach that has just no concept of how to play with this group. That he can't move off what he believes in. That's what I see. All right, we got lots of people I want to get to, and I'm asking for your help because I just don't get this lineup. I don't get it, and you have to explain it to me. Let me tell you about my man, Anthony Bruciano, the roofing master. Do you need a new roof? All right? Are you something going on? There was a storm the other night. That was horrible on Friday. In fact, my buddy works for the Sixers, Scotty Rego, all of a sudden had, you know, water coming in. And he's like, frantically, Ant, who's your roofing guy? And I said, Ant is my roofing guy. That's right. He's got hundreds of five-star Google reviews. Anthony meets with every customer personally to be sure you get the right roofing solution to protect your home for decades, right? He's there. He's walking you through the process. I don't trust the process now. And LaBruciano Roofing is a CertainTeed five-star select shingle master, which means they can offer the best warranty in the business. 50 years from the manufacturer, 25 years on the workmanship. Look, your home's roof is too important to trust with a jack-of-all-trades dude, right? Forget that. Go with the only roofing expert that I would ever recommend to you, my friends. LaBruciano Roofing. All right? Call 610-265-ROOF or go to paroofpros.com. That's paroofpros, P-R-O-S.com. LaBruciano Roofing, the master.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
I love the kid. I do. I know he frustrates everybody. I get it. But I love the kid. I think the kid can be a top five player. And if this coach can't get it out of him, then I love him. But next guy up, next man up, somebody's got to be able to reach this kid. Somebody's got to reach this kid that he's got to be able to shoot the ball. And again, I'm not saying shooting threes. I'm just saying your free throw line extended, take the shot. I see him doing it in practice. I do. I've been to practice a million times. I've seen him do it. He can do it. Just do it. Just do it. I'd rather have that than at the 11th hour, you're going to just upset the entire apple cart. I don't know how that makes sense to me. Just experimenting and, you know, throw this guy in there. But I know how he wants to play. I'm talking about Brett. Brett's the happiest Brett has been, and again, this is just from an outsider, was when they had Bellinelli and Ilyasova, and Embiid was out. And they went on that run. They won 17 out of 18 games. But you know what that was? That was Fugazi. You know why? Because they had beat a bunch of bad teams in the end of the season, half of whom were tanking. That style is not going to win you a championship. And not when you have this team. Not when Elton Brand built the longest team in the league. And yet, you don't want to play to your strength. You don't want to play to it. Like, again, it's about what my personnel is. You got to be, you got to adapt. We always talk about how great Bill Belichick is as a coach. You know why? Because he plays any style. There's not one style that Belichick plays. And even with that system that Brady runs, he'll change everything up to exploit his opponent's weakness. He'll play according to his players and their talents. That's the mark of a great coach. The great coach gets a player, he looks at his team, and devises a way to utilize his team's strengths and expose other teams' weaknesses. So, let's look at, I don't know, the Boston game, the first game of the season. When you look at the matchup of Boston, the idea of Kemba Walker, he gets frustrated by the Sixers. The only game Boston won against the Sixers was the game he didn't play. They were in their tailspin, and it was a Saturday night, and they just lost to the Hawks, and then they went in and they lost to the Celtics, and Kemba didn't play. They match up because here's the reason. Because Ben can play Tatum and Walker is frustrated by the length. You put Matisse on Walker, Matisse is shutting Kemba down. You got Ben on Tatum. Now, where are they getting their offense from? Right? You got your rim protector in Joe. Like, he's the forgotten man in this whole thing. Embiid. The dominant force that Embiid is. Like, he should be the sun. And everybody else should revolve around Embiid. They're all, the rest of them are planets revolving around Embiid, not Simmons. Ben's the comet, right? That's poof, streaking down the floor. And on offense, finding the right guys and playing, really playing a freaking point guard position. Paul, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Get it started. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Anthony. Thank you so much for taking my phone call this morning. So, me personally, I am so not happy with the decision to move him off a point. I maybe just as much or more than you hate the fact that he has been, the ball's been taken out of his hands. I don't understand how you expect for them to, with the main thing that everyone complains about is having space, how both of them being down low is going to help with spacing. I just don't understand that. You're telling me by putting Ben at the power forward position and having Ben or Joel at center that that's going to work. How? I keep going back to it.
I feel you because, again, If Ben shot threes and was a stretch, could play stretch ball at the four spot, then it makes some sense, right? But he can't.
I think that the best power forward that play with Embiid is Ersan Ilyasova, like you were saying. Yes, the run that they had where they won 17 out of 18 was against bad teams, but I did like that 18 roster. My biggest thing that I've been saying since day one,
that roster wasn't winning anything.
I get it, Anthony, but my thing is, I think that when they drafted Fultz, I don't really like going back to this, I did not want any rookie that year. I wanted Jimmy Butler traded for that year. I wanted them to give the Bulls their pick, let the Bulls take whoever they want, had Jimmy Butler then, And if you have that squad with Jimmy Butler, I think it's a completely different situation. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, here's the problem, though. Brett couldn't handle Jimmy Butler. That's the truth. And here's the other problem. And I feel you on that. The idea of Fultz and why they drafted Fultz was, if you have Simmons with the ball in his hands, you need a secondary ball handler. Again, because there are times when somebody else can run the point, like Josh Richardson, right? Jay Rich is Fultz better, right? He's a kid that can handle the ball. He's a kid that can run the offense. And you could slide Ben into the dunker spot at times. But you can't fully take the ball away from him.
I just need Ben to have the ball, not all game long, but...
Yes, I agree. Yes.
He has to have the ball. It's the only way he will be a top five player like we all want him to be.
Yes.
By moving him to power forward, it's such a ridiculous move. And I look back at this as far as Brett Brown's decisions on how to run his players. I get these two guys that I'm going to say to you, they're not superstar players, but he didn't even attempt to make them work, and that was Okafor and Noel. Okafor and Noel, we don't know what they could have been, not saying that they would have been superstars, but his reluctance to use them in any way, shape, or possibility that he could bring them
down. Yeah, the problem was you were just too slow with Okafor. Like, that's the one thing I can't blame. First, it was a bad pick, right? Like, so we understand. And it's a shame because he just is not fit. And thank you, Paulie. He's just not right for today's NBA. He's just too slow. I give the kid a lot of credit. He tried to lose weight. He just didn't have quickness. And, he would have been a perfect five in 1998, right? Or a perfect four or five. Or you want to play him during that era. But he was a back to the basket. He just wasn't going to face the basket. He just, unfortunately, was a bad pick, And unfortunately, and again, the kid was just too slow. So, but all that stuff, and I agree, there were mistakes made during the process, without a doubt. Fultz, Tatum. I was having a conversation this morning with a friend of mine that, obviously the Tatum was a huge miss, right? Huge miss for Fultz. But they got out of it. They got out of it with this team. Now, is it the perfect team? No. Would you rather have CJ McCollum or, forget about Klay Thompson, but somebody like that, or Bradley Beal and Lou Horford? Of course, right? That's just natural guys that can spread the floor because they can shoot threes. So it's not the perfect team, but it's a good enough team that you should be able to win if you play the style in which you're built. Again, they're still longer, and their matchups, I still haven't, it's amazing to me. This whole fallacy that was bully ball, he never played it. Patrick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Patrick.
Cuz, what up, man?
What's going on, Patrick?
Why does Brett love this Euro ball, man? Don't be blowing smoke up our keister talking about you're going to run bully ball and play bully ball when, your actions speak otherwise. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My thing is, I totally agree with you on this. The one game I got to see this past year was the double overtime win at home against the Nets. And that's when Ben's back started acting up. He didn't play that game.
Right.
And the main point I got out of that game, I called you the next day, too, and I said, this team can't function without Ben at the point. Like, they created no space on the floor. Embiid had to have, 40-some points or whatever he had that game, because that's the only thing they could do to win the game. Me and my daughter were sitting there talking like they're not getting no open shots without Ben on the floor. So, to me, I don't understand it. I'm not that guy that's going to knock it. I'm a guy to, give it a shot, but I'm totally with you on this.
Yeah, again, I'm trying to have an open mind, because all I heard was how everybody loves it, right? Oh, this is great. Again, I don't know. Shake Milton, maybe he is, maybe somehow They found a diamond in Shake Milton, right? Maybe they did. I hope so. I like the kid. I want the kid to be a great player. But here's my gut. My gut tells me, and after watching him and looking at him, I go, I like him. I think he's got potential. I think he's Lou Williams light. And to me, Lou Williams light comes off the bench and gives me real scoring.
Yeah, especially when you need it off the bench. Him and Horford, like I said.
Right, so why would you bring Matisse off the bench? And then you got these dogs, Glenn Robinson III. He's a mutt. I mean, what's he going to do in the playoffs against the Lakers and the Clippers?
Well, we talk about how these superstars are spoiled in this league. Do you think maybe Ben, you know, told Brett, hey, I'm ready, you know, put me there? Or
I don't know. I don't know. Here's the thing. Those two, I don't know how he can't reach him, quite frankly. Knowing how deep he goes back to him, to Australia, knowing how Brett is, I thought he was the perfect coach for Simmons. I thought he was.
Yeah, my last point real quick, too, is that, you know, because of COVID-19, they didn't even have time to work on this thing. It's just, you know, exactly. I mean, after all this time off.
I know. And this is what you're going to do? It screams of a Hail Mary in my eyes.
And cuz, man, that's why me and you be seeing eye to eye, man.
Patrick, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. And I'm upset. I'm upset, Patrick, like you,
man. I hear
your
frustration from right out the gate, man. That horse was flying.
Yeah, baby. Patrick, I love you, brother. Be safe, all right?
All right, you too.
Thanks,
you
my
too,
man.
Bud.
See you, brother. Tyler, I want to have an open mind, and I'm trying to listen to you, and we'll get Devon on a little bit to explain, and I'm trying to listen to Legs, and, you know, I don't get it.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not going to be the kind of person that wants to be like correct so bad that if it fails, that if Ben at the point fails, I'm going to be more excited than them winning a championship. I'm just to the point now where I'm okay with trying something else. And if it doesn't work, I'll admit I was wrong and say that you know I was not in the right, I don't know, state of mind or whatever you want to say that this worked, but I'm okay with trying something else and seeing how it goes, especially with the 8 games to play before the playoffs actually start.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I have not taken account the 8 games leading into the playoffs.
You know, and I know that they can mean a lot. Like, they could help the Sixers, in theory, move up in the standings and maybe avoid Boston in the first round and get Miami or Indiana or whichever team it might be. But I think that the Sixers are almost going to take this as some kind of testing ground to try this thing out. And, you know, if it works through 4 games, they'll stick with it. If it doesn't, maybe they give it another game and a half. And by game 6 or 7, if it's still not working, I would bet you see Ben back at the point. But I wonder if they just try, you know, just try something new.
How about try something new and play bully ball?
You mean the thing that they were supposed to do from the get-go?
Yeah.
That would be nice. Be really nice.
I don't know. Is that novel? Is that too much to ask?
If we're in the field of, you know, just giving things a go, why not?
Oh, man. I don't know. Let's go to Vince in Wilmington. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vince!
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
Yo, Vin.
Yo, here's the thing. I think it's a great move, first of all, because last year in the playoffs, Jimmy Butler was carrying the offense because, as we can tell, in the half court, Ben's basically a liability, especially without shooters. Now they lost J.J. Redick. How's the offense going to be affected? If you put Ben as the roll man, not even the duck spot, have him setting screens and rolling, you get an advantage that way. And I understand Embiid's better in the post, but he can at least shoot. Ben is not effective at all unless he's in the paint.
Yeah, okay, but here's the thing, though. You're ignoring the strides that he made this season, which are when a defender sagged and gave him space, he attacked the rim.
Right, but you need shooters from the outside to hit when the defense starts to adjust and starts packing the paint on them. You know what I'm saying? You need the shooters.
No. You already have. You got Richardson, right? You got Harris and you can have Embiid down low. I'm not telling you he's always going to be in the low post, but you'll have that. You'll have other guys on the floor. Harris and Richardson, just look at a guard.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
No, if you're guarding Ben, right, and you're sagging, Vin, well, if you're guarding me and you're sagging, well, you're now vulnerable because I can attack you and attack the rim at you.
But the thing is, defensively, you have more help in your way because of that sagging. You know what I'm saying? In order for Ben to be a threat,
not if Embiid's on if Embiid's on the other side of the low block and Ben drives.
Help will come.
I want the help to come because then I'm going to dish to Embiid, who will be open because the other three are around the perimeter.
Yeah, but they need to hit their shots. Ben needs to be role man.
Wait a second. If I have Harris out up top and I got Richardson out up top and Matisse or Shake, right? Like, so they're around the perimeter, right?
Right.
Now hold on, listen to me.
I'm sorry.
Have Embiid on the low block on the other side, right? And Simmons is on the right side. Embiid's on the left low block. And Simmons is on the right side. And you sag, right? So, all right, I'm going to attack you and attack the rim. Now, if help comes over, it's Embiid's man.
Everybody else is going to rotate also. The thing is.
Yeah, but they're already out in the perimeter.
No, but the thing is, I thought we wanted to play bully ball. Now you want us to shoot threes. That's what I'm trying to say. If they're helping off of him, they're going to give up threes to basically take away Embiid, take away that pass. You know what I'm saying? So we want to play bully ball, but we don't. You have to understand, if we're playing bully ball.
No, I disagree with you.
Help is going to come.
Yeah, I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't get it.
Oh, my God. It's the same thing as last time. You called me an idiot because Draymond Green is a role player.
I didn't call you an idiot.
You did. I called him with Draymond Green.
I'm not calling you an idiot now, am I?
No, but I'm saying.
I don't understand. What did we argue about Draymond Green?
No, I said Ben is used best. He needs to be utilized as a role man, as Draymond Green.
Okay, but here's the problem with Draymond Green. Real quick.
You said it last time, too. Draymond Green doesn't just shoot threes. You got to understand, he does a lot of...
I do understand. This is why Vin, I appreciate it, right? But here's the thing. You're taking away the account that Draymond Green can shoot a three, right?
Yeah, but no. But he's used mostly as the role guy sitting a screen and rolling as a short role guy.
Right.
As soon as he gets that ball and screen and roll.
Right. I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that. But my only point is he can also step out and shoot a three. So
yeah, but
he can stretch the floor at times.
He's mostly used as a screener.
Well, he can
That's
also.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, but there is more of a time. We're splitting hairs here. Right?
Not really.
Well, we are because if you go back to it, right? Now, how do they play? They play because they have elite shooters around they surround him with elite shooters, right?
Correct.
So Draymond Green can be more effective in that offense because they have elite shooters around him, right, Vin?
Correct, but the thing is, he's a more athletic Draymond. He can roll to the rim harder and
I agree with that.
That's what I'm saying.
But you're also taking away his facilitating.
He'll get the ball facilitating if they help off of him when he has the advantage.
But that's your one trick. That's it.
Yeah, but that's all he can do, though. Ben can't shoot.
He can attack with the ball. He can attack with the basketball.
And he needs shooters around him because otherwise.
But he's got. It's not like Harris and Richardson can't shoot.
I understand, but
they're not Steph Curry. I agree with you.
An advantage already as a screener. Once he screens, that puts it's a 2-on-2 thing. Two guys need to help off the screen.
Yeah, I hear you. We disagree. I called you. I didn't mean to call you an idiot because
I understand, brother. It's sports. It gets heated. I understand, man.
Yeah. I appreciate your. And maybe I'm stuck in that I want Simmons to be a different kind of player, right?
And like I completely understand. I just don't think I don't think he's capable of doing that. It's been years. He doesn't shoot the ball.
But it has to be. This is third year.
Yeah, but until he can be a pick and roll ball handler that can score.
Yeah, I agree. How come he can't explain this to me, Vin? How come he can't shoot a free throw line extended shot, a 12-footer?
He's all in his head.
But this is my frustration. My frustration is too. My
he
frustration.
Be, like you said, top five for sure.
But right, but he's not. So, he'll never be a top five player playing this position.
I agree.
So I guess maybe that's where I'm missing it, right? Because I still think the kid is a top five player. Anyway, Ivan, I love this conversation.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. Take it easy. I got to take a break because I'm going to get in trouble. I'm already in hot water here. It's Cuz Radio with Chunis with Tyler is in here. I take this stuff way too serious. I got to stop. Let me tell you about Service First. My boy, Brian. Where you at, Brian? I need to bend somebody's ear. Are you around? I got a guy for everything, right? And I got a guy for an air conditioning. That's right. I got a guy for a new air conditioning system. His name is Brian, and the company is Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. We'll be spending more time indoors this summer. I've been. My house, oh, my God, it's like a hot box. The owner, Brian, came out, gave me a terrific estimate. He gave me the good one, the better, the best, right? Whatever fits my budget. The beauty, and this is great, and it'll help us out, is 0% financing for 72 months on a qualified system. They also have air purification solutions, right? Now, this is fantastic because I'm a guy with allergies, and my kids have allergies. Mossimo has allergies, right? So I need the air scrubbers and the UV lights and the media filters. And, of course, Service First techs are following CDC distancing guidelines, taking every precaution to keep your home safe and clean. For service throughout Bucks and Montgomery counties, trust Service First, a trained comfort specialist, Mitsubishi Diamond preferred dealer. Call my guys at Service First Heating and Air Conditioning or visit ServiceFirstHVAC.com today.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.